The MPs are set for £10,000 of a pay rise after the next election. This comes at a time most other people in the public, private sector are having their wages frozen and cut. And when we've been told by government that there'll be more cuts in public spending. What do you think? MPs, they earn about £66,000 a year. How do you feel about them getting a £10,000 pay rise? Foyle MP Mark Durkin's with us today. Morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the former MP, Lembit Opik. Hello, Lembit.
Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Bumper Graham's with us too, from the Public Service Union, NIPSA. Morning to you, Bumper.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Mark, can this be justified?
I don't think it can be justified in the circumstances. I'm sure, you know, people can sit down and come up with a justification in terms of improving MPs' pay as against pay rates for other people, you know, comparators somewhere in the public sector. But in the context of austerity, in the context of what Parliament is in accepting budgets imposing on other people, whether it's welfare cuts with more cuts to come, with changes in benefits, and those are going to hit not just those who with disabilities and long-term conditions, but also those on carers' allowance as well, with a wage increase limits imposed throughout the public sector, and with pension cuts and changes hitting people throughout the public sector without them being compensated in wages. The idea of saying, right, now's the time to increase MPs' pay, and the cover for increasing the MPs' pay is going to be the fact that we're going to change their pension arrangements a little bit. I just do not think that that is justified. And people will say this is literally one law for the lawmakers and another law for the rest of us in the age of austerity.
Lembit?
Mark is correct to say that I take a different view about this. Now, bear in mind, there's an irony here. I'm not an MP and he is. But I think that if we carry on with this process of not giving MPs pay rises for entirely political reasons, we're going to end up in the old days again, where you have to be rich to be a parliamentarian. At some point, MPs have to get a pay increase. There's a second really important observation here. IPSA is an independent parliamentary standards authority. In other words, they've got no political reason to do this, except to say that they think, they wouldn't put these words, they think it's ridiculous that MPs daren't give themselves pay rises just because of the wrath of the press. So while Mark is arguing against giving himself a pay increase, I'm arguing in favour of it, because otherwise you're just going to have the rich running the country. Yeah. You actually have that situation anyway.
Yeah, but Lemmy, when you say only the rich running the country, is £66,000 not enough? Like, that's the point here.
It's more than I'm earning, a lot more than I'm earning as a non-MP now. But, I mean, there is, in my opinion, there's got to be a point where MPs give themselves a pay rise. Now, if it's not 2015, when is it? 2017, 2020? We'll have this argument whenever that occurs. And so, therefore, we have to have the courage to say MPs will get a pay increase. I'd actually give them more. What I'd actually do is I'd get rid of the entire expenses system, except for some kind of a travel card, and say, look, just have a big pay increase, have no expenses, and then be done away with that entire department. That would actually save more money than it would cost.
But Bumper Graham.
Morning, Stephen.
What do you think?
Well, Stephen, you know, last week we had a further announcement of pay cuts for our members in 2015. And here are MPs going to give themselves £10,000 a year pay increase. Most of our members don't earn £10,000 a year. And we've seen a 15% pay cut in recent years. And this is a 15% pay increase. It hardly gels with the Prime Minister saying that we're all in this together. It really is another case of hypocrisy from those in power. I have to say, I agree with Mark Durkin and what he has said, that at a time when public servants and private workers are being treated disgracefully by this government, but more importantly, people in welfare reform are being hit day in and day out, losing their benefits. It's an absolute disgrace. And what should happen is some MPs should put forward a motion saying that in view of the economic position, in view of the cuts to public servants, in view of the cuts to welfare reform, that they're not going to take this pay increase.
Well, I mean, that's a perfectly legitimate position to take, but it's not the one that I do take. Incidentally, as Mark will probably confirm, the old days, when the expenses system was running riot, effectively Margaret Thatcher, who set it up a secret salary. So basically MPs were kind of getting £20,000 of tax-free income. Whether people like it or not, that was the way it was. Now, a lot of that's gone. MPs, if they speak honestly after a couple of pints on the terrace, will admit that they've actually lost many thousands of pounds of income. And it's not just about the MPs, it's about the families and everything else. They've got incomes to bring in to pay their mortgages too. Now, it's very, very easy to say, oh, 66 grand's a lot more than everybody else's, probably roughly three times the national average salary. But when do we actually make the decision about what MPs are worth? You could say, let's just give MPs the national average salary. But I wouldn't want to live in a country which is run like that, because many of the best people will simply say, forget that, I'll just go back into the private sector. What you want is good people who could make it in other sectors of society, who say, that's enough money to justify going into Parliament. I used to work between 80 and 100 hours a week when I was an MP, and it was quite a lonely job at that. But the money was reasonable, and it was certainly enough for me to say, yeah, I'll do this because I care about it. You make the salary small.
Well, then, but the money is more than reasonable. So it is much more than reasonable.
Well, okay, that's a decision. I mean, you can say that. And in my opinion, if it was that way, then why would an independent authority, IPSA, an independent authority which has nothing to do with the politicians telling the country what they should earn, why would they be saying there should be a £10,000 pay increase? I thought the whole point of the change was to say, if an independent authority is given the responsibility for doing it, then people would go along with it. But no, lo and behold, they make a suggestion of a pay increase, and still we end up in this quagmire, and then MPs will be encouraged to go and find other work, different jobs, and do less work for the country.
The independent authority is not living in the real world. Making proposals to increase pay by 15%, £10,000 a year, when everybody else is having their pay and their benefits cut. So, I mean, the independent authority is living in cloud cuckoo land.
So, Bumper, there's someone currently talking to our phone-in room here saying that some trade union leaders are earning over £100,000 a year. Is that true?
Well, I don't know if it is. It's certainly not the case union, and I wouldn't defend that.
Well, yeah, but this is the problem. You see, once you start playing this bidding war, then everybody who works in a union should say, oh, well, we'll just take the national average salary. What do you earn? Do you earn more than national average salary? How can you justify that? Why don't you take what your average members earn? You said the average member earns less than £10,000 a year. Why don't you take that amount and show an example as well? Otherwise, you're in exactly the same position that you're criticising MPs for.
Well, the answer to that, Lambert, isn't to bring everybody down to the lowest common denominator.
That's what you want to
do. Equally, it's not about giving those who are earning very good salaries massive pay increases that cannot be justified when everybody else's pay and benefits are being attacked.
So your argument basically is that MPs are earning too much, but you're not. So basically, it's OK for you to earn more than the average person.
Well, I can tell you, MPs earn a lot more than I do.
OK, Mark Durkin. Go on, Mark.
Well, I think the point we need to remember here is, yes, IPSA is an independent body. It has made some bizarre changes in relation to expenses, some changes which have actually cost them more money, and even a few changes that have put some MPs in more pocket because of the way things work. But in this case, yes, they've said MPs are underpaid. I'm delighted to hear that MPs are underpaid, but I'm delighted if people would believe that MPs are underpaid, but I don't think that people do. And in the current circumstances, we have to look at what is Parliament doing in relation to other people. Parliament is imposing wage restraint on other people throughout the public sector, regardless of what independent bodies are saying. Parliament is imposing not just changes under welfare reform, but now a new cap on total welfare that will probably bite in Northern Ireland in an extra way. I think people underestimate what the impact of the Chancellor's statement will be last week. Now, in the middle of all that, if we're going to say, well, the most important thing here now is that MPs get a pay increase and that that's fully justified in the name of democracy, I think that would scandalise most people.
Okay.
Yes, MPs will be entitled to a pay increase in changed circumstances and when there are fewer MPs and when various other reforms of Parliament are delivered. But when Parliament isn't delivering reform in itself, in its own system, I don't see how MPs can say the most compelling case for increased expenditure is ourselves.
Mark, thank you very much indeed.